Grazie.
Praise God. Good afternoon, everybody. Hallelujah. God is a good God, isn't he? Man, I tell you, it's awesome being back here again. And thank you, Daniel, for having me come and being part of Healing Now that you guys are doing here. I'm not familiar about how often you do this, but I'm honored. I'm honored to spend this time with you, to bring the Word of God to you. For those of you that are watching online, we want to also welcome you. We want to welcome you into this time together. And I believe that this is going to be a blessed time in which all of us will not only learn from the Word of God, but that we will be able to participate in receiving and having what God has for us. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you that as we come with our hearts ready. Lord, we desire to hear the word spoken by your Spirit. Lead us into all truth. Illuminate our minds and bring light to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, as Daniel was sharing that passage of Scripture, Daniel in Psalm 103, it was an actual, I wanted to actually read that, and I'm glad that you did, because that is such a powerful, powerful statement by the psalmist, you know, that God, you know, bless the Lord, O my soul. What is David doing? David is telling us that it is for us to do whatever it takes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I believe that, you know, David, in writing that psalm, was not writing that psalm at the highest point in his walk with God, but it was in a place of failure, in a place where he was really struggling, and he said, he's encouraging his soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and then forget not all his benefits. And as Daniel was saying, sometimes it is when we are in the circumstance, a situation, we tend to forget. We tend to not remember. And so I really will encourage you today to do what David said, to encourage your soul. Let your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your imaginations bless the Lord. Amen. Why? Because we can't forget his benefits. Praise God. Today, I'd like to talk to you about receiving from a place of love. Receiving healing. This is Healing Now, and we're talking about healing, and many of you are here because you're seeking and you're expecting and you're looking to receive healing. And I want to talk to you about receiving from a place of love. You know, one of the most transformative truths found in the New Testament is that the gospel is not about what we can do or what we can give to God, but it is about what God has done and given to us through Jesus Christ. See, Christianity is not a performance-based religion. It is a relationship with God built upon the love and the grace of God that freely gives us all things. Man, that's so important for us to understand. That this is the difference between religion and Christianity. And that it's Christianity is about having and entering into a relationship with God where his love, his grace provides freely for us all things. You know, As preparing this, I thought, you know, we can talk about the fact that God has given us the abundance of his grace. Paul talks about the abundance of God's grace. But you think about, what does that mean? Well, it means that God has given us his son. He's given us his love, his acceptance, his forgiveness, his favor, his peace, healing, wholeness, deliverance, and everything we will ever need for life and godliness. You know, Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 1 and, verse 2 and 3, Peter says this, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Yes, yes, Peter, and he says, listen, he's writing an epistle, and he's writing this letter. He says, listen, let grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Isn't it wonderful to know that God is not a God who adds, but he multiplies. And his grace is multiplied toward us. And he says that grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, verse 3 says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things. Man, I want to stop there for a moment. That the grace of God, this is what it's all about. It's about a relationship we have with God based upon his love and his abundant grace by which he gives us all things. And that's what Peter is saying here. He says that let the grace and the peace of God be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, and according as he has given unto us. He has given. It's not something God's going to give. It is something he has already given to us. And what has he given to us? All things. All things. All things what? I love this. That pertain unto life and godliness. Anything and everything we are ever going to need for life. What life? For this very life that we're living right now. If in this life we need healing, we need prosperity, we need deliverance, we need peace, we need tranquility of mind and heart. God, Peter says, according to the power of God, he's already given it to you. It's already done. So the question is this: have we received from the abundance of God's grace? And are we continuing to receive from God's grace? And I guess what I'm trying to get across this afternoon is the fact that it is God that has given to us, and he's given to us all things. All things. That means there's nothing that we are ever going to need for life and for godliness, or with godlikeness. We're ever going to need. He said he's given us all things, but it is up to us to receive it. See, unfortunately, this is where many people are stuck. And I don't know, you might be here today, you might be watching online, and you might be in a place where you say, but I know and I hear what you're saying, and I see the promises in the Word of God. I see the promises of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I see that it is done and it's given. But many of us are in a place where we are stuck, and we are, let's put it, hindered in our walk of faith, in walking this truth out. Now, you see, I believe that the word, the Greek word in the New Testament, lambano, is, I believe, and it's the word, the Greek word lambano, is the word where we get our word to receive or receiving. To lambano, I believe, is one of the most important words that you find in the New Testament narrative. Because, as I said earlier, if we realize and understand that Christianity is not a religion in which we do or give to God, but it is a relationship in which God, through His loving grace, has already given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And so many people, I know you might be here and you say, I hear that, but somehow I'm stuck. Well, that's why I believe one of the most important terms or words that you find in the New Testament is about receiving. It is that lambano. It is a narrative that you find in the New Testament, because the good news of the gospel is all about what God has graciously and freely given to us, but it's up to us to receive it. Receiving, that word lambano, from God is something that takes place not out of striving. And I know that, unfortunately for many people, and I know that even in my own walk with the Lord, over the years, there has been times in which I've tried to, through striving, what must I do? What must I do? Is there something I need to do and strive to receive this, to take a hold of this? And it's never about striving. It's not, but it is about a place of unconditional love. And boy, I tell you, that made such a difference in my walk and experience with a relationship with God, in which God has provided all things. Now, you know, can I say, well, I have it all together? I love what Andrew says. Andrew says, no, I'm not there yet, but I have left. And so today I'm expecting that some of you, that if that's where you are and you're in a place where you feel like I'm stuck and I don't seem to be able to receive what God has freely given, and you know, what's wrong? What more must I do? And that's interesting that you always hear people say, well, what more must I do? Well, I would say that if you understand, is that unconditional love is the atmosphere where our faith to receive from God thrives. Our faith to receive from God thrives within the atmosphere of unconditional love. Turn with me in your Bibles and let's go and have a look, and let me go show you why I say that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, as many of you will know, defines and describes the true nature and of divine love, of the God kind of agape love. That means that in the Bible, you know, when you understand, what does it mean when God says He loves me? Now, we don't have time to go through this, but I would really encourage you, if you're taking notes in this, is go and study the whole of 1 Corinthians 13. And you will see that Paul is describing what I would say the length, the breadth, the height, the depth of how far God's love extends and how deep His love goes. Then in verse 13, he says this, and I want you to go there. Verse 13, Paul ends by revealing, I believe, what the Amplified Bible calls the choicest of graces. And he says in verse 13, I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Classic. He says, and now there remains faith, which means abiding trust in God and his promises, hope, a confident expectation of eternal salvation, love, unselfish love for others. Now notice this, growing out of God's love for me. Because again, when you look at that word that he uses, there is the agape of God. And he says, and even though it's true that we love others, but it should always flow out of God's love for us. Then he says, the choices of graces. What are the choices of graces? Faith, hope, and love. But then he says this. He says, but the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these. In fact, the word greatest there, actually in the original language, is talking about the most mature. The most mature, the oldest, is love. The greatest is love. You see, we find in the New Testament, and I'll encourage you that wherever you read in the New Testament, you will find that literally every place where you read about miracle healings taking place, where miracles took place, you will find these three components: faith, hope, and love is always present. You know, you think about the leper that came to Jesus. You can see when he came to Jesus, he had hope and he had faith, but he wasn't too sure if Jesus loved him enough to do it. Jesus added that love. But that's the component that was there. The woman with the issue of blood, the same thing. She had a hope, a confident expectation. She had a faith that if she could just touch the hem of his garment. And when she did, she experienced a flow from Jesus, which I believe is the unconditional love of God. And then, you know, even the man at the gate beautiful in the book of Acts, every one of these places you will find that those three components are there. But it's interesting to note that Paul says the greatest of these is love. See, I believe what that is saying to us is that when hope is gone, and you might be here today, there are some times where our hope wanes and faith seems to be weak. It is the love of God that always remains true. The love of God never goes away. Never, never. It is constant and consistent. And I am convinced that it is from that place of God's unconditional love where healing flows, where healing manifests in our lives. In other words, it is the love of God revealed in Christ for us. You know, of course, that Paul makes it very clear that Jesus Christ and him crucified is the demonstration of God's love for us. And it is that when we see the love of God and when we experience the love of God in and through Jesus Christ, that it becomes the source. Why is the love the greatest of all the graces? Because when hope is waning and faith is weak, the fact that God loves you is the source that gives us the confident expectation. It is when you have and believe and trust and experience the unconditional love of God, it convinces and persuades us and gives us the provision of our faith. You see, faith is not something that you and I have to somehow conjure up. Faith is something God has given us as a gift. But faith is energized. Hallelujah. Faith is energized. The writer of Hebrews says it like this. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Amen? You know, if I have this correctly, Andrew has a great teaching, and I believe it's an old teaching that he did many years ago, but it's still a golden oldie, I would say, and that is that the teaching, and I believe it's called God's Love, the Cure for What Ails You. God's Love, the Cure for What Ails You. And but Andrew does such a great job in that is that, listen, if everything else fails in your life, when your hope is waning and your faith is weak, focusing in and expecting and looking and longing for the love of God and experiencing and spending time with God in His love and allowing His love to fill your heart and persuade your heart, hope will be revived. Faith will be strengthened. But it's when we come and we experience that love, when we experience the fact that God, nothing can ever change God's love for you. Nothing that's happening, nothing that you've done can ever change God's love. I heard somebody say this today. I can't remember where I saw it. But this lady was giving a testimony, and she was talking about how she was in such a place where she had messed up so bad, and she was saying to the Lord, how can you still love me? And if I get her words correctly, she said, the Lord said to her, I can't remember her name, but said to her, I don't know how not to love you. I don't know how not to love you. You see, God has provided for us. Healing is being provided for us. And that, you know, Psalm 103 is so beautiful. The benefits of God who heals all. Everybody say all.
All.
Who heals all of your diseases. Who heals all of the sicknesses. God is not in saying, well, I'll heal some and I'll heal some people from some diseases or some sicknesses or some ailments. No, He heals all. But it is up to us to receive. And the place to receive is from the unconditional love of God. Now, many believers today are struggling. And I know that there's been times in my life where, you know, it might not be for healing, but it is for whatever the provision that God has made in the atonement of Jesus Christ. And I've had those times where I kind of feel stuck, and people are struggling to receive the benefits of healing and wholeness and abundant life through what Christ has already done for us because of, I would call it, unknowingly holding on to limiting beliefs. Because so many of us come from all walks of life. And what happens is sometimes unknowingly we are holding on to limited or limiting beliefs that oppose the truth of God's love. And I don't know how else to put this. The place where the supernatural flows is the place of unconditional love. For God so loved the world. What did he do? That he gave. The place for the supernatural provision of God in your life and my life is the place of unconditional love. And unfortunately, so many of us get stuck because we find ourselves unknowingly having beliefs in our heart that oppose the love of God. Limiting beliefs are when we have what I call opposing beliefs. Opposing beliefs don't cancel God's love, but it stops us from receiving. You know, years ago, many of you as students, if you're here and you've had some of my classes, you might have heard me talk about this, but many years ago, I would say 35 years ago, I got a revelation one day from the Lord as I was struggling in my daily walk, my Christian life. And the only way I could put it was that Christian life was not as advertised. Does that make any sense? Yes. And I was living my Christian life knowing the truth of the finished work of Jesus Christ, knowing the promises of God, realizing that God has given, but I was not experiencing that. And many Christians, many believers today, this is the heartache of so many men and women of God, is that so much of what they believe doesn't necessarily work for them. And unfortunately, what we've done in the church is that we've somehow not dealt with some of these issues other than to make people believe that, you know what, if you just fake it, you can fake it until you make it. Amen. If I can just have the right confession. Now, please, right confession is very important. But sometimes what happens is that so many of us, we're dying on the inside because our Christian life is not as advertised. We're not experiencing what we know to be true. Come on now. And then we come to church and people say to you, well, how are you doing today? Well, I am blessed with heaven's best. That's a great confession. But the problem is we're not dealing with the opposing. Why am I struggling? Is this helping anybody? And I can remember the day that I got, and I mean, I got to a place where I was a mess. And it's a long story, but I can remember laying on the floor, and I'm bawling. I am an emotional mess, and I hear the Spirit of God just say to me, Arthur, you need to enter into my rest. And I was like, what? Of course, that's what I'm looking for. And again, the Lord just spoke to my heart, and he said, Arthur, you need to enter into my rest. And I can remember this one thing. I thought to myself, where have I heard that before? And I went to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, chapter 3, I believe around there, where it says the people of God could not enter in to his rest because of unbelief. Amen. And I hear the Spirit of God say to me, he said, Arthur, your problem is that you are full of unbelief. Now, that was a hard thing for me to hear. Why? Well, because I believed the promises. I believed what the New Testament said. I believed what Jesus accomplished. I confessed it. I believed it. How can you say I'm full of unbelief? And this is when the Spirit spoke to me and said to me, Arthur, unbelief is not when you can't believe, or you refuse to believe, or you're unwilling to believe. It's when what you are already believing is un. That's how he spoke it to me. It's you're believing something that's inside out or upside down. Man, it was like the lights came on for me. And he said to me, Arthur, you believe, you say I'm good. You preach I'm good. But you don't really believe that I really am good. You believe I can be good. You believe I'm capable of good. But you don't believe that I am. The I am is good. Wow, man. That's when I decided that day, I said, Lord, I realized that I believed in all of the things that God could do for me, that he might do for me, but I didn't believe that God has already done it, and it is never withheld from me. And boy, I tell you, from that day on, I started saying, Lord, from this day on, I am looking for, I am expecting, and I am believing that no matter what, no matter where I find myself, no matter what I find myself in, I'm going to expect you to be good. I'm going to expect you to be good. And boy, it started changing my life. Turn with me there to the book of Galatians. Paul calls this, you know, opposing beliefs. Paul calls it frustrating the grace of God. Frustrating the grace of God. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21, he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Well, let me read from verse 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh... Can I just stop there for a moment? Let's read this and not just read it and say, well, you know, I've read this before. But let's read it with intent. All right? Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. That means that not only is my life one with Christ, but my death was one with Christ. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Now he says this, the life which I now live in the flesh. You know, this is one of the greatest revelations of the New Testament. Is that I died with him, and I am now alive with him. He says, now I know I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, he said, I'm alive here. But he says, now the life I'm now living in this flesh. That means your everyday life. This is not one day when you get to heaven, not one day when heaven comes here. It's not in the by and by, you know, one day there. It's now. Everybody say now.
Now.
See, your life right now is one with Christ. And the life I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now I want to stress that. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You know, that used to confuse me. And I think it still confuses a lot of people. Until I asked the Lord one time, I said, Lord, what do you mean the life that I now live? Because I want to live this life now. He said, but the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Does it mean that I somehow vicariously live out the faith of Jesus? Well, I believe the fact that I'm one with him, that can be true. But I believe it's more than that. It is that the life that you and I now live, that is prepared for us to live, is the life that Jesus obtained by his faith. How many of you believe Jesus had faith? Three of you? Jesus had faith. And Jesus, when he went to the cross and when he died on that cross, when I was in him, and he had faith. And his faith obtained all things you are ever going to need for life and godliness. Oh, you're not listening. You're not listening. That means your faith does not obtain it. You don't have to conjure up and get enough faith to obtain it. He has already obtained it for you. And now the life I live now, I live because he had faith for it. I am healed because he had faith for my healing. Oh, come on. You know, I now walk in victory because he had faith for my victory. I now, all I need to do is have faith in the fact that did he have faith? It's not, my faith doesn't have to acquire this. It's already acquired. Oh, hallelujah. Why? Because he loved us. That's what his love accomplished. That's why Paul then says in verse 21, he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. You see, when you and I don't accept that Jesus has already, by his faith, obtained everything for life and godliness and has freely given it to you, then you are going to frustrate the grace of God. So good. Oh, come on. You're going to frustrate it. And I think that many times that's where we find ourselves. When we find ourselves stuck and we're struggling to walk in the reality of what is promised in the New Testament, is because that word there, to frustrate, means to violate, to reject, or to neutralize. See, we neutralize the grace, the free grace of God. When on the one hand, this is where I want you to listen carefully. Because remember what I said about the opposing beliefs that we have are beliefs that oppose the unconditional love of God. And we frustrate the grace and the provision of God in our lives when, on the one hand, we believe the truth, we agree to the truth of the finished work of Jesus Christ, we agree to the promises, but on the other hand, we do not trust the extent and the influence of God's divine love, of how far it goes, how deep it reaches. The only way I can explain it is kind of like what Jesus explained. Let's go and have a look, and you'll see this is going to make a lot of sense with you when you hear what Jesus said. And go with me to Matthew chapter 21. How are we doing for time? 10 minutes. How can it be that quick? Matthew chapter 21. You got it? Is this helping anybody? Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 21, verses 18 through 22. Now, just for the sake of time, from verse 18 through to verse 20 is where we find Jesus. He gets up one morning. He decides he's going back to Jerusalem. He's on his way back there. He comes across, he's hungry, and he comes across a tree, a fig tree, where he assumed he was going to be able to get some figs to eat. And the fig tree had no fruit. And so we know what happened. Jesus got there, and what did he say? He said to the fig tree, he said, "Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever." And it says, and presently, that means immediately, the branches and leaves started withering. So much so that the disciples were bemused. And they said, "How soon is this fig tree withered away?" Now listen to what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not." I'm going to repeat that. Jesus said, "If you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which was done to the fig tree, but also you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done." Now verse 22, "And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer," man, I tell you, this is powerful. I mean, this is powerful. "And all things," not some things, "all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." Now, clearly Jesus is saying that if we have faith and doubt not, we would be able to ask anything. All things you ask. Come on, guys. I mean, this is powerful. And you think to yourself, Jesus, did you really mean this? All things that I would ask? Yes. Jesus is saying, if you have faith and doubt not. Now, what we need to do, sometimes what I've learned in the 40-something years of ministry, and that is, it's not always what the Bible says. It's what does it mean when the Bible says? Amen? And so, it's not just that Jesus said, if you have faith and doubt not. What did Jesus mean by that? Because I know, unfortunately, because of the definition that so many of us hold on to about faith, I know for me, I used to, for the longest time, believe this. All that meant was, is that Jesus is saying, if you have enough faith to outweigh your doubt. You know, and what that does, what that mentality does, is that it causes us to live a, what is the right term? When you live with a tug of war. You understand what I mean by a tug of war? You're pulling this way, and then some days you're winning, and then other days you're losing. Amen? And that it's between faith and doubt, and faith and doubt. And so, what I used to say is, well, if I could just add more to my faith, if I could just have more faith guys to help me, I can overcome my doubts. Is that what Jesus was saying? No. I think the answer to this is found when we look at that word doubt that Jesus used. The word doubt that Jesus used is the Greek word diakrino. Diakrino comes, literally means, you know, definition means to discriminate or to oppose. To oppose. To stagger or to waver. It comes from two Greek root words, dia, D-I-A, dia, which means to avoid by reason of. to avoid something because of something. And the because of something is the next word, krino. To avoid because of krino. Krino is to put on trial. It means to condemn or be punished. It speaks of to be called into question and be under sentence. So what is he saying? Jesus is saying, if you have faith and don't have opposing beliefs that are opposing or is, as the word there says, is to avoid because of condemnation, because of guilt. See, doubt is therefore not when we doubt the promises, because let me just be honest. I don't think there's a person in this room or a person watching on live stream that you're actually saying, well, I don't believe the promises. We all believe the promises. I mean, listen, if you're here and you don't believe the promises, then listen, you need to start at a different place. Amen. We're here. We know what the New Testament says. We understand the finished work of Jesus. We're here. We believe the promises. Not that I doubt the promise. The problem is, let me put it to you this way. Sometimes we believe and we believe in God for healing, but at the same time, we believe that he's somehow angry with us. That's an opposing belief. And sometimes that is something that you don't even realize you have. Sometimes you want to believe God to walk in prosperity, but at the same time, see, when Jesus said, if you have faith and doubt not, what he's saying is it's possible to have faith and doubt all at the same time. And so you say, I'm going to believe God to prosper me and to prosper my family. But at the same time, you somehow believe God's disappointed. That God is disappointed in you. You want to believe God for deliverance, for God to bring deliverance in your life. But you don't really believe he cares. See, those are opposing beliefs that oppose the love, the unconditional love of God. See, Jesus is not talking, I don't believe he's talking about faith versus doubt. He's talking about faith without doubt. Oh, come on. He's saying if you can deal with your doubts, the doubts that you have about the unconditional love of God. And so many people, so many men and women of God. See, this is not a call for more faith. Unfortunately, over the years, I've heard so many of us teach this about, well, you just got to increase your faith. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son. You can't have more faith than Jesus' faith. Hallelujah. Are you with me? But it's when we have faith and we trust God, but he's calling for pure faith. Faith that is not mixed with opposing beliefs that oppose God's love in your life. And so many people, unfortunately, are living there. I think the important thing for all of us to do today, as we come to the end of this time together. Do I have a couple of minutes extra? Just a couple. I just want to finish this off here because we need to read the rest. The rest in verse, is it verse 22 or 20? Yeah, verse 22, Paul says, Jesus said, whatever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. See, dealing effectively with the opposing beliefs can only be done by exposing yourself to the unconditional love of God. By exposing your heart. Allowing the condemnation and the thoughts and the imaginations of condemnation that comes when our eyes are placed not on God's love for us, but upon us and our own self-righteousness. It is when we look and say, well, what's wrong with me? See, that's the wrong question. Years ago, the Lord said to me, I want you to go teach people what's right with them. And when you put your eyes and take your eyes off God and His unconditional love for you, there's only one other place you're going to put it. You're going to put it upon yourself. And I believe it's in Timothy where Paul says, God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly. Is it Timothy or is it Ephesians? Ephesians. He can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or think, according to the power that works within you. What power is this? It's the power of God's love. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ask or even think. You know, I like when you go and look at that verse and look at those words, he says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask. That means even when you ask, as much as you ask, it would be like somebody who asks for a bucket full of seawater and there's still an ocean left. When you and I come and we come to the Lord, sometimes we feel our situation warrants that we are somehow going to bankrupt heaven because of asking God to meet this need. And Paul says God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ever ask or even imagine. How? According to the power that works within you. Receiving today. I want to leave you out. I've specifically wrote down at the end of this message something I want to just leave you with here. And that is that the truth about you today, I want you to say it with me. Say, the truth about me today is that I am deeply loved. I am fully accepted. Therefore, I am completely free to receive all that His grace has provided. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you are greater than we can even imagine. Thank you, Lord, that you desire for us to receive all the things that you have provided for life, for godliness. Your desire to provide for us is what nailed Jesus on that cross. Providing for us once and for all. Everything we're ever going to need. Lord, we pray for those who are in need of healing and wholeness, deliverance, soundness of mind. You know, I hear by the Spirit this afternoon that someone is saying, yeah, but Arthur, you don't know how disobedient I've been. I want to just tell you, your disobedience is swallowed up in His obedience. It is the obedience of Christ on the cross that is now accounted to your obedience. And you are now qualified, you are now free to receive the miracle you're expecting. Father, we thank you that sickness and disease, infirmity cannot stay in the place of unconditional love. And we speak over that right now. For those in this room, for those watching online, in the name of Jesus, I say sickness, disease, infirmity, pain, torment, be gone. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Daniel, I'm going to let you come. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.